Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can be louder, you know me. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of sadism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, MK? Can you feel it?
Aw, yeah, it's working, Diana.
The Freedom Fiends is coming. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
How you doing, MK?
I am doing all right, actually. What are you up to?
Oh, just hanging out in the lovely weather.
Other person here.
North Carolina.
Other human.
Oh, is this, Michael, are you here too, Michael? I thought it was just me and MK.
I guess I've achieved my
goal. Snuck in through the back door.
I've achieved my goal of replacing myself completely on my show. Yeah, it's Michael Dean. I'm still sick from quitting vapes. Quitting vapes is harder on my body than quitting heroin was, so.
So you're actually sick from quitting vapes?
Yes.
Explain.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. It's just all the crap that's in my lungs is coming up. And it's making me sick. And it's worse than kicking heroin, because after 2 weeks of kicking heroin, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it is worse. Wow. Kicking nicotine is worse than
it's not
heroin.
The nicotine. I'm on patches. No? Like, I'm on a sliver of a patch. I'm barely missing nicotine.
See.
And I'm, you know, the patch is much less nicotine.
It's just the action of vaping, which is very satisfying.
No, I'm not missing the action of vaping that much.
What are you missing?
It's my body reacting to quitting and having all the crap in my lungs.
It's allergy season, too.
That might be
compounding it. So I'm having struggles.
So when you vape, you get crap in your lungs? Ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Nobody realizes it. I'm the first person to do this, I think, because vapes are so new.
Yeah.
I'm the first person I know of. I couldn't find anything online of anyone who had, like, chain vaped for 3 years and then quit and then written or talked about it. So... And I'm sure that there's people who are going to...
They're a pioneer.
I'm a pioneer, but... And I'm not saying outlaw vapes or anything. I think they should be sold to school children freely in vending machines, but...
Yeah.
They're not safe, Bitcoin. Man. They're not safe. People think they're
safe.
Yeah. They're not completely safe. And there are people who are religious about them who are going to yell at me for saying that, but those people are stupid and they haven't done this yet, so I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, like you said. I mean, is they're so relatively new that we just really don't know that much.
I'm patient zero.
Like, what kind of effect?
You're patient zero. We're going to call this Dean syndrome. I always wanted an illness named after me.
I haven't really had.
I always figured it would be a venereal disease, though. Like, that was my
goal. I do know one other person who's quit vapes. Mm-hmm. And so far, she hasn't expressed any ill effects.
Was she chain vaping?
From it, so. She was chain vaping. Mm. She's pretty much chain vaping, yeah.
Well, I also have asthma.
Yeah, there's that.
And I've also, I also smoked cigarettes for 30-some years before I started vaping for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's probably collective, cumulative effect of all of that and then suddenly quitting. Although, I have quit smoking before for a few months at a time. And... When you quit chain smoking, you have effects too. I mean, you have people say you cough up things that look like escargot, but yeah. Speaking of French things,
yummy,
tasty,
but not as bad as this. So, speaking of French things, we can hear the birds outside your window there, Diana.
But they're not French birds.
No, but you said, what'd you say about your boyfriend?
Oh, yeah. He was cooking earlier. He made a big batch of spaghetti sauce. I'm so excited.
Yay.
After we're
had to be quiet because Fiend Phone picks up everything.
Everything,
And he's in the kitchen, and I said, is he in a French maid outfit? Or a French Canadian made outfit.
A French Canadian made outfit. That would be super cute.
Yes, your boyfriend, Pierre. Robert.
Hey, he's already cooking. That's a keeper.
So. Oh, I know. Absolutely.
Real man cook. Real man cook.
Real man cook. That's
I
right.
I don't. Yeah. I'm not a real
well,
man.
Actually, I will say my ex was an excellent cook. He was an excellent cook. And I was, you know, when I decided, you know, that things had to end, I was just like, oh, God, how am I going to eat now?
You know, it's funny. A lot of Americans.
I'm living off of meat and potatoes now. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
Meat potato sounds pretty good.
Could your ex
he could cook really well and actually encouraged me to eat more vegetables than I normally would have. So I got to get
eat
back
your
to that.
Vegetables.
Yeah, I'm
so
bad
now,
at
now
eating
you're
my
like,
vegetables.
Screw vegetables, man. I ain't eating.
Now I'm like frozen
vegetables.
Pizza every day.
Heck yeah. Ooh, I love it.
Did triple
you,
meat
did you
frozen
say
pizza.
Something that wasn't radio friendly there.
Huh?
Triple meat frozen
pizza. You
pizzas?
Say something that wasn't radio friendly, Diana? Something
no,
yeah.
I said heck.
Ah, good.
I said heck yeah.
All right. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you know, there are some frozen pizzas that I actually think are really good. I like the really thin crust frozen pizzas.
Hey, what do you think? Yeah. Anyway, what do you think of Barack
Fresh
Obama?
That's a great one.
I got to interject.
Barack Obama, his feet stink. He can't throw a baseball. What
He's
else?
A liar.
He's a socialist. He's a liar. And we hate him.
Yep.
He's just an all-around bad dude.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
like him. I'm not for him.
Nope.
Yeah.
I wish he'd just stayed a pothead and become like a, you know, civil rights attorney. He would have been so much mm-hmm. more useful to the world as a stoner. Like, I wish he had a big fro and he was just a stoner civil rights attorney. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Most of the civil rights attorneys are pretty cool. So
you know what? The thing about it is I think he's really kind of too big of a nerd. Like he's been
he's
in there
Urkel.
And he's like he's Urkel essentially. Yeah.
He's Urkel with a nuke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wearing
mom jeans.
Just no one
ooh,
should do
ooh,
that.
The mom jeans with the white
don't
sneakers.
Wear
oh
yeah. No. Don't do it. Not even once.
Nope.
Friends don't
nope.
let friends
will,
wear mom jeans.
I will
jeans.
Judge you. I will judge you.
Yes. It's a little
be
bit
prepared
of judgment.
To be judged if you wear that.
Larkin Rose wears mom jeans, or he's been seen wearing them.
You know, some really, really, really smart, awesome men, and I'm not saying that he's a really, really smart, awesome man, but some, like, they just don't know, they don't have someone around to explain to them that that's just not good attire, that that's not okay attire, so they just wear what's comfortable.
I do. My wife tries to civilize me, but I pretty much, there's a few things that I don't change from before we got married. One is I dress like a slob in total comfort. I'm in my underwear and a t-shirt right now and combat boots, which is comfortable.
Nice. Because
it's
you
starting
go.
To get hot here. And,
yeah, it's pretty warm here.
And
too.
My bedroom, okay, we live in a 2,000 square foot house, but my bedroom, and we have separate bedrooms.
Mansion. It's a mansion.
It kind of is for,
wow.
for what I've lived in before. And it's, yeah, because of Wyoming, it's, you know, stuff's cheap here. So, but I basically have... I have recreated my bachelor pad studio apartment in my bedroom in this big house. Like socks on the floor and everything, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you know, we were talking about, I think one of our shows, we were talking about what our bedrooms look like. And we were talking about, because I didn't think that my house was very girly, and Christian disagreed. He thought that, you know, the house is kind of definitely
that.
Looks like it's got a woman's touch kind of thing. And but the bedroom, yeah, it looks like a woman has that as her bedroom, but there are definitely socks on the floor,
well,
among
that's,
other things.
Like, I can't, I have to have one room in a house that's not girly. And that's the room that I spend most of my time in. It's the room she spends most of her time in, too, because she's here. We have side-by-side his and hers computers.
Hey DJ.
Nice.
She's at work. It's Saturday. Nice. She had to get her Sunday. It's weekend. She had to go into work for a few minutes. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my room was a mess. I never learned, I don't know, how to lady, I guess. So it's a mess most of the time. And then, like, every now and then I'll clean it, and it'll be clean for maybe, like, 2 days.
And you're thinking, and like, how awesome is this? This feels so good to have it like this. And you're like, I'm going to keep it like this. And it never,
well, like, I know
ever,
where everything
ever
is.
Happens.
Once you get it clean, it's like, why can't I just maintain this? But then it goes into organized chaos, and you know, what do you do?
Yeah,
I'm learning.
There's more fun things to do than clean. That's my philosophy.
I'm too busy to clean. I'm way too busy to clean. I don't have time.
For
that, but
I'm busy having fun.
My room is not dirty, but it's messy. There's a difference. Like there's
a difference.
Yeah, mine's cluttered.
There's no,
it's not dirty,
but
cluttered
containers and nothing like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's how mine is too. And
none
I've always kind of been that way. I've been cluttered and messy, but not dirty.
Yeah. And have you guys ever had roommates who accidentally made yogurt in their room?
No.
Sounds
horrible.
Gross.
Explain.
Left out milk.
It was like a bowl of, a partially eaten bowl of cereal that was left out, and I would leave my roommates alone, but I happened to be in there hanging out one day, and I look over, and sure enough, it's like turned into yogurt. It's like, how long has that been there? I mean, you know, clean whenever you feel like it, but that's weird.
Don't be gross, you know.
Don't
you can be,
gross. Be
messy, just don't be gross.
Yeah.
Anywho, so here we are. MK, how are things in Florida?
Well, very Florida-like still. Well, some good news, I will say. Sean's Outpost won their ruling, their appeal, basically. So they're going to be able to continue developing Satoshi Forest.
I don't know anything about this.
So they were fighting a while with the county over developing this piece of land they had bought to turn into a homelessness campground. And the county was trying to stop them, and a lot of the neighbors were angry and trying to stop them. And they ended up winning the case, the county basically appealed, and the judge rejected the appeal recently, is big news because there's lot of homelessness problems here, and you know they really get attacked by the county a lot, and this will allow them to develop the land more and actually turn it into a fully functioning campground and allow more people on there too. So this is really good news. So
that is really good news. Yeah, I remember I was reading about that, the situation.
What's their website?
With that.
It's seansoutpost.com.
Cool. And that's S-E-A-N or S-H-A-W-N?
Yes, S-E-A-N.
Okay, S-E-A-N.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so explain, because it's kind of funny because, you know, Jason King, you know, he's kind of the one who started Sean's Outpost, right? Or one of the, among those that started Sean's Outpost, which we can talk about when we come back.
From the flea market.
From the flea market.
And the free market.
Yay, free market.
Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
And this is the Freedom Fiends. We're back, and this is got Diana, the Laughing Kitty, which is me, and MK, and I don't remember who your wrestling animal is.
It's the Wolfram Panther.
That's right, Panther. And then, of course, there's Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster.
Nice.
Kitty got a hairball.
Oh no. So we were talking before the break, we were talking a little bit about Sean's Outpost, and that Sean's Outpost is down there in MK's locale,
Redneck Riviera.
Floridia, and the Redneck Riviera, exactly. So we were talking about it, and I was going to mention that it was Jason King was among the ones who started Sean's Outpost. That's correct, right?
Yeah, so Jason started it to honor his friend Sean Dugas, who was murdered, actually. And so some of the other people that are involved, Mike Kimbrell is also involved. He does a lot of the on-the-ground operation stuff. Jason's back in town more now, so he's also taking that on, too. And they've been battling with the county, Escambia County, for quite some time over Satoshi Forest. Yeah, right?
It's got the word scam right in it. Yeah.
It's got scam right in there.
The county has the name scam right in their name.
People That's just convenient. Call it Scambia. Oh, yeah. Scambia. Scambia County.
That's the government.
So they're pretty brutal. They've been trying to stop the development of this 9-acre property that Sean's Outpost purchased to develop a homeless campground on it. And so they finally won the appeal, and they're going to be able to develop on that, which is really good. And what Sean's Outpost is, they kind of gained prominence in the Bitcoin space because they started taking Bitcoin to feed homeless people. And they also take other donations, too, but they're primarily funded with Bitcoin. So that's kind of interesting. It started off as kind of an experiment, and it's turned into a really wonderful thing. A lot of people have donated, and a lot of people have gotten fed, too. Over 150,000 meals so far have been delivered to homeless people in the area.
Yeah.
So
that
feel good story.
Oh, absolutely. And it's definitely one of the very positive ways that that cryptocurrencies can be used. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about today is talking to people who think they know a little something, or that they might not really know anything about Bitcoin except for what they've heard about the Silk Road and buying drugs over the internet, via the black market using Bitcoin. Because, there's quite a few people that I've talked to just, I'd say, have you ever heard of Bitcoin? And they would say, oh, yeah, that's the thing that, you can go online and buy drugs with, right? So they have this, in their opinion, sort of probably a negative it has a little bit of a negative connotation because that's all they really know about it. I've been really curious, and this kind of came up because my boyfriend Christian is developing a presentation regarding Bitcoin and decentralized networks and that type of thing to present to a local contracting company. It's a company that contracts for other companies. It's kind of a temp agency. And they wanted Christian to come and talk to them about Bitcoin. And so Christian shared his presentation with me. And, I kept thinking, you have to keep your audience in mind. You have to think about who am I talking to?
That's why Ethereum is popular and BitShares isn't, because the guy who runs Ethereum is really captivating to an audience, and the geniuses that run BitShares are kind of like, well, I'm going to tell you about BitShares now.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, it's like, the thing about it is that a lot of these people are kind of preaching to the choir.
That's why Stefan Molyneux is a millionaire and I'm not.
Yeah. But, so it's like, how do you go and talk to, normal, quote unquote, or earth people?
Normies.
That's
what we called in AA. We called people who weren't in AA normies. And it was kind of a derogatory term. I want to reclaim that for people who don't understand liberty yet.
Right.
So why is it derogatory?
Normies.
To not be an alcoholic.
Because it's cool to be in recovery.
Yeah, but it is.
Because you think more than normies.
Wait, so is it people who have a drinking problem that would not be classified as an alcoholic?
No, it's people who can
help.
No, it's people who can drink like a gentleman.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
people
I guess
that
I
can drink like
insulting.
A gentleman, or people that who don't drink at all, or don't And to me, it's like, from what I understand, it's more about. AA is a spiritual journey, and a lot of
people who haven't gone on the journey.
Yeah, yeah. So.
But you could go. He could go there now with Status Anonymous.
Love it.
And this is a meeting of Status Anonymous. No, SA is something else. SA. Yo, SA. That's Sex Anonymous.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Slaw.
The Symbionese, yeah. The Symbionese Liberation, yeah. Love Army, SLAA. Yeah. Slaw. Practice these principles in all our affairs. Go ahead.
Meow.
Go ahead, ladies.
Meow.
That is an angry cat.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
Angry kitty. So we're talking about how do we talk to normies about Bitcoin and how it relates to the liberty movement, how it relates to the free market, how it is really a very positive and good force in the world. And, you know, just like anything else, it can be used for evil, but, you know, let's focus on what can be done with Bitcoin cryptocurrencies for good.
Let's step back one step and explain what Bitcoin is, because we're on radio. There's probably people listening who have heard of it, but don't know what it is. Want to take it, MK?
So Bitcoin is a virtual currency. It's known as a peer-to-peer currency that anyone can use. It's not controlled by central governments or banks. It's distributed across a network. And basically, the currency is created by computers solving complex mathematical problems. And each time the problem is solved, it releases a block that releases 25 Squirt. Bitcoin to the person who solved it.
Squirt.
Squirt's a block. And it's very interesting. Like I said, it's very easy to use. There's very low transaction fees. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, seconds to set up a wallet. You can download the Bitcoin Core wallet on your computer, which will mm-hmm. download the entire Bitcoin network, which is used to verify transactions and send Bitcoin to and from each other. Or you can do a lighter weight wallet. You can have a phone app. Those are very mm-hmm. easy to set up. And mm-hmm. it's an alternative currency. And it's mm-hmm. also a bit of a software experiment, too, because it's a way to you can basically transmit money anywhere in the
instantly.
World for very low fees instantly.
Yeah, and one of the other cool things about the technology, you know, not just Bitcoin, because, you know, I mean, even if Bitcoin were to fail tomorrow, we would still have the blockchain technology, which is revolutionary in so many different ways, and it can do so many different things. But in terms of Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrencies, you know, there are hundreds of thousands. I found this out. I didn't even realize it was that many. Hundreds of thousands of businesses around the world that accept Bitcoin now, and some very large ones, some that our audience has heard of, like Dell Computers, and I think Microsoft is accepting it now. Overstock.com. The first thing I bought on Overstock with Bitcoin was cat food.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and then I got a lovely Labradorite ring, and so it's like
it's made from dogs.
No,
I know.
And no, not no.
So about 4 months ago, somebody transferred.
Oh my goodness!
Somebody transferred $80 million of Bitcoin to another account, and the fee was 4 cents worth of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, transfer
absolutely.
$80 million.
So one of the things that you can use Bitcoin for is you can transfer money to someone else, where you would have normally used, you know, something like Western Union that charges $25 per transaction or something. You can do it via Bitcoin and for pennies.
Yeah, they charge anywhere from up to I believe 13% or so to send money to the poorest parts of the world too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
so it's very location dependent too. Whereas Bitcoin it's a distributed network. It's going to cost the same, you know, to send some Bitcoin to a person sitting next to you as it would to send Bitcoin to someone in China. So this is great for people who are wanting to send money back home to family, like immigrants mm-hmm, who've
absolutely.
Moved to this country.
Yeah.
So it has so many uses, and currency is really, we say currency is the first app of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin mm-hmm. is so much more than currency. But I think when you're talking with people, just focusing on the currency part of it is probably mm-hmm. the most effective way to go about it. Because you get into a lot of
It's all about the money, money, money.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's got a lot of great features, and you were kind of wondering, you know, how do we get this to, you know, regular people who just want an alternative currency? And there's a really good TED Talk where this guy named Paul Kemp Robertson talks about Bitcoin. He talks about a bunch of other currencies too, and he breaks down some statistics which I thought were interesting. So these are the statistics from the Edelman Trust Barometer, and it basically says 61% of people trust in a person like themselves, you know, another you know, person in the same socioeconomic area. 43% trust CEOs, and only 38% trust government officials or regulators. So people trust business owners more
than
they
trust government
agencies.
It's
as high as 38%. I know, they're still, you know, still.
Come on, 38%. Seriously? I mean, really, after everything that's going on and happening or has happened and, ugh.
Yeah, whatever. So this is a very broad view of things. And I think these percentages probably change a little bit depending on the subculture you're talking about. If there's more radicalism within the subculture, you're going to have more distrust of government officials and business owners, too.
Yeah, of course.
So that's kind of interesting to think about. And 45% of people ages 25 to 34 would be comfortable using an independently issued currency like Bitcoin or some of the other alternative currencies he talks about. So people who are kind of in our age range, Diana, I would say are – They're the ones who are going to be most likely to be on board with Bitcoin and trying new things, because it really is it's kind of hard to talk to some people who are hesitant to try new things to really jump into Bitcoin. And there's good reason to be skeptical about it. I will say that. Yeah. I think people should be absolutely skeptical of Bitcoin. But I think, you know, when you're kind of looking at, you know, younger age ranges, those people are going to be a little more receptive, because I think that they want something new and exciting, and they realize how this older system has kind of screwed them over in a lot of ways.
Hey, I just got health insurance. I've never had it in my life, and I just got my they emailed me my temp ID card.
Nice.
It's, it's worth mentioning. I mean, you know, I'm 50, and I'm 50. I'm getting health insurance. And it was a bunch of hassles to jump through, and it did not come as quickly as a Bitcoin transaction.
Right. Could you buy your insurance?
I'd be surprised
with Bitcoin
if it did. Oh, heck no. Not yet.
Not yet. Not which, yet. You know, I think in the future, you know, I think governments are going to become more receptive to it as a currency. I mean, once, you know, you can pay your taxes in Bitcoin, that kind of takes off the radical edge of it a lot. I mean, I tend to be one of those people who's like, let's not cover up the radical side of Bitcoin, because I think it's kind of interesting. You
know? Yes, yeah. Very cool.
But a lot of people want to kind of sanitize it more.
Normies.
Make it more like, no, it's safe.
Normies,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and you know, there are issues with it, the wildly fluctuating price and stuff like that. But people are already starting to use a lot of other alternative currencies, something like Starbucks Star Coins. You know, by going to Starbucks, you can accumulate Star Coins, and you can use those to buy your coffee with. And Amazon's doing this. All types of businesses are kind of creating their own currencies now, too. They're not even necessarily cryptocurrencies. But, you know, so that's interesting. I think that there is a tendency towards kind of going back to a point in history where, for example, in 1860, we had 1,800 types of currency.
Yeah,
so
that's
we
how
had
it
a lot
be.
Of competing currencies, and we're kind of coming full circle back around to that. You have corporations who are kind of issuing their own currencies now that you can only use within that corporation or business. Whereas with Bitcoin, you also have other things besides Bitcoin, but Bitcoin you can use at all kinds of places. There's even an app called Gift where you can convert it into a gift card from thousands. Yes. Thousands.
GYFT.com.
Yeah,
yes,
I buy stuff
GYFT.
I buy stuff on Amazon through Gift all the time. And you don't have to use it on a you don't need a smartphone to use it. I use it on a desktop computer.
Yeah,
it the old way. But my wife loves it because she found out that, like, you know, all the girly places she likes, you can get stuff through Gift.
Yeah. Like Sephora?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right on. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you know,
we thought she thought Bitcoin was like imaginary internet money that, you know, oh, that's daddy's hobby. You know, like that's something that I do that she doesn't know what it is. And until I bought her something on Sephora, and now she's like very interested when we have Bitcoin.
I love this Bitcoin thing.
Yeah.
And you know,
actually,
they always say how to get
paper.
People always have like how to get more women involved in Bitcoin. tell them you can spend it on Sephora.
Right?
Is that sexist?
Yeah, but I think a lot of women would be more interested in Bitcoin if they knew that.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I actually wrote an article called "Bitcoin Doesn't Need Women" in response to one called "Bitcoin Needs Women."
You're such a pun,
right? It was, right. Yeah,
it was making. Well, but it was the title was meant to be inflammatory, but the point was there are already a lot of women active in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. This idea that there's no women involved, like the author I was responding to was saying, mm-hmm. is just it's fantastical. Like there are a ton of women. There are more. I mean, we had so many women at the two conferences I organized. I found a ton of female speakers, and I didn't lump them all on a Women in Bitcoin panel, too. That annoys me.
That's good.
I mean, you know, you go to these conferences, or let's put all the women on one panel. It's like, why? Right. So they can talk about, like, something that doesn't even matter to their work? You know, why are we going to sit there and talk
about
women
for a sec?
So.
Well, ladies, a man is speaking, ladies.
Oh, God.
I'll say something really true that's kind of sexist probably to some people. I think getting more women involved in Bitcoin will lead to more regulation in Bitcoin.
Actually, I kind of made that point in my article.
Yeah.
I basically said I'd rather have the women we already have in Bitcoin than add more people to it who have a regulatory mindset. And if you'll notice,
exactly.
there are a few prominent people in Bitcoin who are women who are pushing for, we need more regulation.
We need the government
like,
to approve
of
this.
Women generally push anti-gun laws more than men.
Yeah, they do.
That is true.
Yeah.
Moms against everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, moms against everything.
It's for the children. I mean.
MAE. Moms against everything.
I like that.
There you go. Yeah.
That should be the title of this episode, I think.
Moms against everything.
Moms against everything.
Sounds good.
There you go.
That sounds good. Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. So the women of Bitcoin thing's kind of interesting, but it has such broad appeal. I think just with how it already functions. I think stripping away a lot of the technical language is probably a good idea when you're talking to people about it. And depending on where they're at, you know, radically speaking, you know, you can add that stuff about the Silk Road if you want to. The Silk Road stuff isn't even really that relevant, though, to what Bitcoin is. I mean, it's terrible.
A lot of people
think
it is because that's the big news, right? That's that was the news that was splat. I mean, like mainstream media had that out there, and so that's the extent of a lot of people's knowledge.
I wonder if the mainstream media is going to cover the things that have come out about how the investigators in the Silk Road case were like. Mm-hmm. Committing forced theft, fraud, and aggression and are going to jail.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yes.
It's been covered to death, but we can mention it for people who haven't heard
it. No, I mean, you know, like everybody should be talking about that.
Yeah.
Worms.
Meow, meow.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow,
meow. So Ross Ulbricht. Silk Road.
So when people think Bitcoin, a lot of times they think Silk Road, and they think about this guy who hired, you know, agents to kill this person who was threatening to expose it. They hear all this bad stuff. Well, now it's come out that these two government agents who were involved in the case stole a ton of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were completely corrupt. These were DEA agents, which, I mean, it's not really shocking that the people in the drug and alcohol enforcement agency would be, you know, stealing money to buy drugs with or anything, you know.
I don't know that they were buying drugs. Were they buying drugs?
I wouldn't doubt it. They were stealing money.
They were committing fraud to do it, and making up personas and playing them against each other with the feds.
Oh, I mean, it was bad stuff. And basically, if you want to talk about Silk Road, you can't talk about Silk Road without saying that the DEA had a role in setting up Ross Ulbricht for this murder for hire charge. They entrapped him, basically, and also, I mean, these two people were being indicted, but they were not allowed to use this for the trial, though. This is the messed up part, is they weren't allowed to use this for trial, so.
A man is talking, ladies.
Okay. All right.
I'm just sitting here being quiet, letting MK roll with it.
I don't think there's any proof at all that Ross engaged in any kind of murder for hire thing. I think they made that up.
Well, they have all the chat logs. No, it's not made up. They have all the
chat logs
because he logged all of the Tor chat logs, which was not very smart to do.
But two of the people doing that are going to prison for fraud. What makes you think they didn't make that up? And they haven't charged him with murder for hire.
He saved the logs that all of that was on his computer.
So they say. You're trusting the FBI and the DEA.
There's a really good article on Forbes. How about I'll say that? She read the entire unsealed Silk Road docket and went through it and made some excellent points. And, I mean, I think it's wrong what was done to Ross. I totally don't agree with it. I think he was totally set up and, you know, all that. But at the same time, he wasn't being as secure as he should have been running the operation he was running.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things he could have done differently.
Kept a diary.
And ultimately, he kept a diary and he kept all of his chat logs, which were Tor encrypted, which is really bad idea.
Wasn't he running it from a single server? Or a single or something
I've
like that. He didn't have it distributed
Yeah.
So I can't click on this article, MK. Just saying. I can't even highlight it and copy it.
Oh, that's weird.
You sent it via chat.
I said it in the chat. Sorry. Yeah. I assumed I could do that. Here, I'll email it to you. But yeah, it's a really good article on Forbes. And Vice is also, I gotta say, doing a killer job of covering this case, because this is something I wondered about a lot too. Like, what is the extent of the DEA's role in this? And it turns out they weren't allowed to use a lot of this evidence in the trial because it was a sealed case and it just became unsealed. So basically, the defense's case was a lot weaker than it could have been were they allowed to use all of this information that has just been put up on Forbes and Vice and a few other places.
Yeah.
And it's really, really messed up. That this person did not get a fair trial at all. It was completely.
I think we're burying the lead here. I don't think we've clearly explained what Silk Road was.
Okay, so Silk Road was an online marketplace where you could buy any number of illegal drugs. Mostly marijuana was the main thing that was sold, and it was bought with Bitcoin. So people would send Bitcoin. They would hold it in an escrow. And then when the drugs would be delivered, they would send the signal, hey, you know, we received our drugs, release the Bitcoin.
It would go through.
And it actually was release the coin. And it was actually a really efficient marketplace with a rating system. So you knew that you were getting and you could buy from vendors who were highly rated. But it didn't just sell drugs.
Yeah.
But it didn't just sell drugs. You could buy all kinds of things on there that weren't even drug related.
Nobody bought the other stuff, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a lot of people bought the other stuff. Right. But you could. But it was kind of an interesting experiment in a truly free market, an unregulated market. Unfortunately, the feds busted him and, took him away and locked him up in a cage.
But more have popped up immediately. This kind of technology cannot be stopped.
Right. And it can't be stopped. There's going to be online drug marketplaces, whether or not you like that. You don't have to use them, though. And from what I hear, it's kind of difficult to access, but yeah.
And here we are.
At the end
of another segment.
We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market. And some news that'll scare the heck out of you. Then we'll come back and make you calm again. On the Freedom Fiends.
Meow.
Meow. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the blocket pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
Is the Freedom Fiends. Am I too early?
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Ha ha, so, government can't use
we're back. Can't yeah. use it. No government allowed. Government right. used the back door. So.
Not even the back door.
The no, trash, the trash back door. The back door's locked.
The trash entrance.
Right. The trash chute.
It would be so nice if we are the back. Servants' entrance, but hey.
Well,
they are supposed to be our servants, yeah. right?
They are supposed to be our servants, absolutely. And they're definitely not. They're our overlords.
They're just serving themselves to our Bitcoin,
which is not like
and other things.
Helping themselves. They're our overlords, not our MK lords. So, MK lords.
There you go.
What is Bitcoin yes. for people joining in the second hour?
So, Bitcoin is a virtual currency that allows you to send value to someone anywhere in the world for a very small fee over a distributed network called the blockchain.
With this nobody, is fascinating. With nobody overseeing it. I explain it,
exactly,
to, my, I explain it to my 93-year-old dad. It's kind of like emailing gold.
That's pretty much
it
what
really
it is.
Yeah.
That's, awesome. That's a good analogy.
Good explanation.
Or that's yeah. that's
for
what I use
people.
A lot, too. It's like,
it,
yeah. it's like email for gold.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's no central force that can stop it, which is really great because yeah. it's been seen as some people, especially governments, as a kind of disruptive currency. Mm-hmm.
And it is a disruptive currency.
Oh, they could stop
yeah.
it.
It is.
Absolutely.
They could stop it.
Yeah.
They could turn off the power to the whole world.
Yeah.
That's the only way they
could regulate.
That's
they how could regulate it to death. They could figure out a way to get the 51% processing power. They could.
No, they couldn't, you know, at this point. That's Pat. That's
yeah.
Past.
You don't think?
No.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
No.
Awesome.
No. Okay. That would be no. And it would be kind of unnecessary to do. But yeah, the only way to
hey,
stop
they
it
could
would
hook
be
up
to
with
stop.
Google. They could hook up with Google.
That's
use,
right.
They could use that Utah NSA processing facility. For Bitcoin
yeah.
mining.
Yeah, I'm definitely much more concerned about Google than I've ever been.
Now, actually, they could not use that NSA facility because you need ASIC miners now. It's past the point where you can use like conventional computers to mine Bitcoin.
Well, even supercomputers would be really ridiculous to use. I mean, it wouldn't even be able to do the same job as an ASIC miner. Yeah. So, if they shut down the electricity, I'm sorry, you're gonna have bigger problems yep. than where your yeah. Bitcoin is.
Oh
so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the apparently the strongest or the most powerful supercomputer in the world is in China, and it operates I think at 32 petaflops or something like that, and you need a lot more than that, and a petaflop is a unit of it's a unit of measure of
Isn't
the processing
that someone who
power.
Likes children too much?
Yeah, it's they're very. Weird.
I wasn't going to go there, but I thought
very like a very strange term. There's like zettaflops, and I don't know. Anyway, this was all in Christian's presentation, and he was going to explain all these terms to this audience, and I'm going. I think that just might be a bit much.
You know, our
keep
cat,
it simple.
Our cat,
exactly.
We call our cat Peeny Flop sometimes after the word peniflop because our cat Peanut will come in and he'll like. He'll mew
flop.
And then he'll just like flop, like he falls over intentionally,
like timber.
Yes, and he wants to be
timber.
Petted. We call him a peeny flop.
Aww. That's cute. Yeah. So, cats. Yay, cats.
Okay, so we've established
cats always comes back to cats.
What Bitcoin is. So talk about the
so,
Silk
yeah,
Road
trial. So the Silk Road was an online marketplace where you could buy just about anything with Bitcoin, and mostly what was bought was marijuana. And they, most people heard about Bitcoin through the Silk Road bust, which the government found out who was operating it, rounded him up, and basically threw him in jail after they had infiltrated it and had been goading him into a murder for hire scenario. And so basically the government had infiltrated it and they were trying to force him into calling a hit on someone else who happened to also be a government agent in the Silk Road. It's a very messed up thing. And what's coming out now is these two DEA agents got indicted over stealing a bunch of Bitcoin. It's a bunch of corrupt.
And an FBI, I think. Or a DEA and Homeland Security, was it? It was not two DEA agents.
Maybe it wasn't two DEA.
It was two Fed goons. That's all we
need
to know.
Two feds. And
one was named Force, which is pretty funny. His last name was Force. And the other was Bridges, which are like part of the road. So it was like Force and Roads.
Force and Bridges. Oh my goodness. Wow. I didn't even notice that. That's true. But yeah, so now it's coming out that these people were completely corrupt, stole a bunch of Bitcoin, and that the defense was not able to use this information in the trial that just finished a month or so ago, which is just awful. I mean, this person, Ross Ulbricht, who's accused of being Dread Pirate Roberts, the leader of the Silk Road, he didn't get a fair trial at all. They suppressed a lot of information here, and now it's all coming out, and they still have a lot of it redacted, but a lot of it's unsealed now, and it's awful.
It's kind of ironic that they charged him with the kingpin charge, which is, you know, it's usually reserved for people who would be more like Tony Montana in, you know, Scarface. This guy is not your typical drug kingpin. He's like a...
No, not at all.
He's a computer nerd.
He's more of a nerd. He's a nerd, yeah.
Yeah, he provided the website to do this.
He's really cute, though.
Well, I mean, to say that he's a kingpin, I mean, that would be like saying, you know, the black market, you know, is a kingpin,
right,
because
exactly.
It facilitates the trade of bad things, you know, like he just allowed a way to facilitate trades without, I mean, he took a commission and stuff, but he was not the one dealing the drugs. He was not the don of the operation. He just, you know, allowed people to do it. So yeah, and it sets a lot of bad precedents, especially the kingpin charge, because now this puts other websites in danger if they're hosting anything that might be unpopular. For example, we saw this recently with antiwar.com and Google shut down.
AdSense. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they shut down their AdSense account for an 11-year-old story on Abu Ghraib that published the pictures of Abu Ghraib. A lot of you may
remember.
Because
of the content. They said the content was offensive, blah, blah, blah.
You know, Angela Keaton is going to be
the next.
Which
war is offensive.
You know,
absolutely.
Do you know Angela Keaton is going to be a Freedom Fiends co-host soon?
Oh, I hope so. That's the best.
Yep.
I can't wait.
That's all. Carry on.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, so antiwar.com, I've been reading them since I was like 15, for like 10 years now.
Oh,
like
look
I've
at
been
you,
reading
girl.
Them. Like I love antiwar.com and Google decided to suspend their ad account.
Reading it for 1 year.
Well, it's great. And the thing is they're so meticulous about their reporting, because war is some bad stuff. You know, it's really awful. We should be offended that there's war, not that
absolutely.
People are showing pictures of what happens when you have war. So there was a huge outrage. Bitcoin Not Bombs, I'm editor of Bitcoin Not Bombs, we're doing a contest now where you can submit a t-shirt design. We're using the hashtag Don't Expose Evil, because the original Google slogan, they don't use it anymore, motto slogan,
don't see evil or don't do evil, was it don't do evil? Don't be evil.
Don't be evil.
Yeah.
And now they're not wanting you to expose evil.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're fairly applying this rule of theirs anyway. Right. I don't think they are. But thankfully, a lot of other people have stepped up to the plate and that, you know, put their ads up on antiwar.com to help them out. And, you know, a lot of the community is, you know, trying to help out as much as possible, because this was a huge hit to them. AntiWar's already a struggling nonprofit. I mean, it's not popular to report on war, so it's kind of hard to, you know, stay afloat sometimes. And so, but they're doing the hardest work that that there is as far as reporting goes. Reporting.
I agree.
On war.
I read this article the other day that came out on March 29th. Don't See Evil, Google's boycott campaign against war photography and alternative media. That's on the antiwar.com blog, and I was appalled. I mean, I had some information about it, but that, you know, I knew that, you know, that Google had stopped its AdSense, or had, shut down their, you know, AdSense because of this one photograph. Well, then and there was this whole like interchange between, antiwar.com and Google saying, okay, so we'll, you know, all right, so that's, you know, we'll, you know, I don't know. They didn't remove the photograph, but they said, okay, so we'll, you know, do this. And it was supposed to be a really nice thing. And then Google comes back and says, oh, well, we found this other picture too of, you know, Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, it's infuriating is what it is.
So that they were able to establish a dialogue with Google is very rare that you get to that point, mm-hmm. because when you mm-hmm. go through the appeals process, they basically shut you down and you can't, there's not really much of an appeals process with Google. Right. If they want to shut you mm-hmm. down, they're going to. But because there was such an outrage, because so many people contacted Google and complained, they were finally forced to have this dialogue with antiwar.com. And this is important to remember with Google. I do find them to be terrifyingly powerful, mm-hmm. but if you want to get any kind of rapport with them, you have to put pressure on them. They still respond to pressure in a lot of ways, unlike, you know, a lot of the government agencies out there. So thankfully, a lot of people spoke up and spoke out against it. Gawker even covered it, which is great. So Google is still receptive enough, but it's a hard process for a lot of the smaller independent journalist sites out there. If Google wants to take you down, if they, you know, take your ads down, then they can do that. And you don't get to really push back much against their decision. Right. And a lot of this is done by bots, too. Like, I don't want to maybe say that there's... While I wouldn't doubt that there could be some conspiracy against antiwar.com, a lot of this stuff is automatically found by bots. And it's just automatically reported. And there's not a, you know... There may not be a person who's looking through everything, every single post.
That's my assumption,
to see if it
is
fits
that they're
standards.
Bots. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but yeah, it's something that you have to be concerned about whenever any corporation gets that powerful. I'm not a pro corporation anarchist at all. You know, I don't think that big corporations are a great thing. Yeah. I view them with as much skepticism as I view big government agencies.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times they collude together, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Google has been averaging one visit per week with the White House.
Wow.
Yeah. That's even in this article. Yeah. So, I do not trust them.
Don't be evil.
That's
Google.
Right. Yeah, don't be evil, Google.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
I have a kitty behind me.
Mew.
she jumped up on the chair behind me. And I thought it was Christian at first, but it was Henrietta.
She sensed the other kitties.
Yeah. She just loves her mommy. She's being terrorized a little bit by my beagle, so.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Beagle problems.
But she holds her own. She totally holds her own. I just let them duke it out.
There you go. There are a lot of dogs who are afraid of cats, too, because cats just won't put up with them. So.
Right. Well, I figure at some point if Roxy, my beagle, if she gets, you know, kind of punched in the face enough by Henrietta, she might, you know, get a hint. Like, maybe leave it alone.
Dogs can be trained, but cats can't be so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Dogs have owners. Cats have staff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So there you go. We definitely have a lively situation going on here. I'm actually keeping my ex-husband's dog, which I consider him my dog too. So it's more like visitation.
Aww.
There you go. Which I love That's keeping good. Him. So I have two dogs, a cat and a rabbit, and a man and a woman in a 800 square foot apartment.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a trooper.
So when I said that,
it's awesome. I love
when
it.
When I said that DJ and I have a 2,000 square foot apartment, and you guys said, "Wow!" I thought you were making fun of me. Like, that's not much.
No.
Okay. No.
Oh my gosh! The biggest house I've ever lived in, well, as an adult, was 1,800 square feet.
Well, we have a closet yeah. more than that.
Wow. I think my apartment's like, I don't know, like maybe 700 or something.
Yeah. I don't need a big space. Small. Yeah.
No, I kind of like smaller spaces, less to clean and keep up with.
I just wish this one room
was... Less to get cluttered, right?
I just wish this one room was bigger, that I have all of my gear and everything in. It's like my studio and my bedroom. I wish I could take some of the room in the finished basement where I never hang out and, like, add it on to the side of the house to make this room bigger. Because I'm out of room.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, so we were talking about the evils of Google in the previous segment and talking about how they removed their AdSense.
I saw a meme going around that was, it said Google mottos, and it said 2001, don't be evil. Or no, it was like 1998, don't be evil.
Yeah.
2005, mm-hmm. evil is hard to define. 2012, we make robots for the military.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I saw that.
It's
meme.
A nice
That's
progression.
A good one. Yeah, and
that
it's,
is
yes.
a good one.
Yeah, and we're well, best buds with Obama now.
Well, yeah, and this happens. I mean, this is going to happen when you have something that starts off maybe kind of small with the best of intentions and that kind of idealism, and then you mm-hmm. get wrapped up with government and you get wrapped up with, you know, your other corporate interests and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, evil becomes this kind of relative thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're banning antiwar.com from posting pictures of war. Well, pictures yeah. of what is a consequence of
the
war,
result
which
of
is
war,
torture.
Yeah. Right.
So, exactly. So yeah, it's a slippery slope. And Google fell right down it, and I'm currently looking into alternative services, so I don't use Google as much.
Me well, too. And there is an alternative to AdSense, which I mentioned in the previous segment. It's called coinurl.com, and it was tweeted out by Bitcoin Not Bombs, and I think that's definitely worth looking into. If you want to monetize your content, go to coinurl.com.
I mm-hmm. never used
yeah, it's
AdSense.
A good alternative.
I hate AdSense. Yeah. I hate websites that use AdSense. I mean, I understand why someone like, you know, running a thing like Antiwar would need to, because they have more expenses than someone like the Freedom Fiends. But yeah, I don't like when I go to I don't like ads on sites. You know, when I go to see a website, I want to see the content of the website, and I'm almost like, you know, I'd rather mm-hmm. donate to the website than. But I understand. Yeah. I understand what people do. Yeah. I mean, it's a choice. Like, I never monetize my YouTube videos either. And I've got a bunch of videos with 20 and 50,000 views. And I've got, you know, I've got a video with 350,000 views. You know, I could be making some money on it, but I just never bothered. I don't like ads.
Yeah. And I think with antiwar.com's case, it definitely is necessary, and consider mm-hmm. this is an organization that was actively being spied on by the FBI, and when that was revealed, they lost a lot of their donors because of that. That was kind of what got them into Bitcoin, was mm-hmm. they lost a lot of their support because people freaked out, because when you find out that you're
they don't
want to
be connected with that. Yep.
Right. Well, now, and it's unfortunate that you can't, that they're not able to even speak out with what they are doing with corporations, because even Google's targeting them now. And this is why I'm not a pro-corporation person. I think mm-hmm. it's just as dangerous. They're going to suppress speech just as much.
If I cared about that stuff, I wouldn't be inviting the head of antiwar.com to join our radio
right.
show.
Right. So awesome.
Yay!
That'll
Yay!
Put us on more lists. Even more lists.
Yeah.
You're listening
Binders
to the Freedom
full of
Fiends.
Women's.
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
MK, I was going to tease you.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So you're like, oh, yeah, we got MK, the Lady of Bitcoin.
Ladies of Bitcoin. The Freedom
Ladies
Fiends.
Of Bitcoin.
We have finders full of women who like Bitcoin.
Finders and binders.
We got wallets full of women.
Wallets full of women. There you go.
Yeah.
Women, if you want to regulate Bitcoin, just stay away. All right?
Just leave us alone. We don't want your type
we
coming
don't want
around
your
here.
Moms against everything.
No, absolutely not. So MK, so you have been designated a lady of Bitcoin or a woman of Bitcoin kind of thing. And I think that's a little bit of a sore spot for you.
Oh, boy. Okay, so, so it is and it isn't. Okay, so it's a complicated relationship, I guess you could say. Yeah. So I am a person.
I'm a lady,
Bitcoin,
and I like Bitcoin, so.
Who happens to be a lady. Yeah, right. And so we were kind of talking about this earlier. We talked about this at Coins in the Kingdom, which is a conference I organized with Jason King of Sean's Outpost.
And it was fabulous.
It was super fun. I had a ton of female speakers. And at the one I did before that called Bitcoin in the Beltway, someone did the maths on this, another woman. Maths. And she told me I had the maths.
The arithmetics.
So, she told me I had 40% more female speakers than any other Bitcoin conference to date. And so what I did differently was I just looked for quality speakers. And it turns out a bunch of them just happened to be women. So they all got their hour long or more speaking spot. And I didn't have a single women in Bitcoin panel. I've been on a couple, one at Porkfest. I was invited to be on one last year at the Texas Bitcoin Conference. But it turns out there were too many women for the women in Bitcoin panel. So I ran a charity panel instead. But this is and this happens. This crosses over to libertarian conferences, too. They'll have a women in liberty
the
panel.
The ladies of liberty.
And to me, that's not only lazy, but it's insulting. And here's why. Because they're basically saying that your work doesn't matter as much as your gender matters. So let's put you on a panel with all these women so like five women get an hour to speak instead of five separate women each getting an hour to talk about their work and what they actually do and care about.
Right.
So a lot of women, a lot of libertarians are pretty individualist. They don't want to be defined by their gender. And same with a lot of women in Bitcoin too. There's a lot of crossover. They're very independent, intelligent women who are working on really cool projects. Mm-hmm. Why are we going to talk about this thing that, you know, it defines maybe their gender, but it doesn't define their life.
Right.
Like, I don't define myself by my gender, okay? I don't go about being like, I am a woman in Bitcoin, and this is why you should listen to me. That's ridiculous to do. It's like, I'm an editor of Bitcoin Not Bombs. You know, I create my own content on my blog. I co-host on a radio show. Like, I do all of these other things, and it's the things that I do that I feel define really who I am rather than my gender, which is something I can't control anyway. And it's insulting to women.
Actually,
it's so insulting.
Oh,
well, I guess I could. Yeah, okay.
Something surgically built out of a toe.
Out of a toe?
But
that ain't changing nothing.
Yes. Yeah, but let's hope it's bigger than that.
Right. It's such a, I don't know, it's an insulting
small
thing. And I don't think organizers are like doing it to like be insulting or anything. Mm-hmm. I really think they're just oblivious and they don't know as many females in Liberty or if you want to call it that, or Bitcoin because
they're
caught up in their own.
And Yeah, get all but excited. It's like, oh, girls like Bitcoin too, just like we do, kind of thing.
But I hate it. I hate the women in Bitcoin panels. It's ridiculous. No one has enough time to talk about their work. And you know, the best one I was on, though, I will say, was at Porkfest last year, and Stephanie Murphy ran the panel, and it was a great panel because we all got to talk about what we did in Bitcoin and not being a woman in Bitcoin. You know, she asked such great questions, and there was such a variety of answers, and you know, and we all kind of agree, like, we don't want to be defined by our gender in Bitcoin. And so I'd like to see other conferences and stuff kind of stepping up, and because you can find them out there. There are literally a ton of women already in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And that was the subject of my article, Bitcoin Doesn't Need Women. It was up on Bitcoin Not Bombs. And it was in response to some of these other articles coming out, like Bitcoin needs women. And I made the argument, we don't need more women who want to regulate it. We don't need more women who are going to push for, you know, safe regulations. And, you know, we don't need more Pearl Clinton. Women,
we don't need more
maize. Pearl clenching.
Pearl clenching, yes, exactly.
Pearl, like, you know, like,
or hand wringing,
like, clenching your pearls, like, won't someone think of the children? Like, you know,
I've never heard
hysterical.
That term.
Yes,
it's a term.
You know, that's a good one.
My smelling salts, you know, I can't handle these men
or my,
in Bitcoin.
My fainting couch.
Yeah, right.
Like, we need to redistribute.
These like
make
delicate people... flowers who can't handle Bitcoin nerds or something. Yeah. Okay,
you know, there's actually a push to like mandate that more women and minorities be hired in Silicon Valley as programmers.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
right.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and it's
regardless,
not like,
regardless of their ability or their expertise.
Google will do it.
Yeah.
Right, and so like those kind of policies, like I think it's okay if a company voluntarily wants to do something like that. Yeah. In fact, one of the people who spoke at Coins in the Kingdom was Andreas Antonopoulos, and we had a good conversation afterwards. And he said he developed some software for a company he was working for that just assigned numbers to everyone, and the whole process, all the way up to the interview process, you didn't know who the person was. You didn't know their gender,
their name or anything,
and it ended up in more diversity and more people who were right for the job based on their experience and their qualifications, and it just happened to bring more diversity, more women in. Mm-hmm. A meritocracy led to more diversity. It led to more women and minorities and all of these things. Yeah, all of these things that these people are trying to kind of enforce by edict. In a lot of other areas.
Yeah, just like let people do what they want to do. Let people do what they're passionate about. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, Bitcoin or working in the Liberty Movement or just, you know, like right now, I'm finding passions in other areas. And so my focus isn't entirely on Liberty right now. And, you know, and that's okay. It's like we should just do what you want, regardless of what your friggin' gender is. It's ridiculous.
Right. I think it's very backwards to define yourself by your gender or I think your skin color or your sexual orientation or anything like that. I mean, I don't find it necessary to do. It's okay if you want to. I'm not going to say, like, you can't do that. You shouldn't
that.
But to me, I find it very strange because, like we were saying earlier, I want to be defined by, you know, my... what I do, you know, my work, you know, the things I create or my art even more so. And, you know... And I think most people do. I think it really is a minority who want to be defined by a characteristic that they can't change. They're a very vocal minority, though.
So, hey, MK, are you planning on going to Porkfest this year?
I will be going to Porkfest.
Okay,
are you guys going?
Good. I'm planning on it. And actually, I think I'm gonna participate in Agora Valley. I'm in school right now for aesthetics technology. And I'm thinking seriously about setting up probably not a tent. I think Christian and I are talking about renting an RV. At one point, we were going to buy an RV, and that's still a possibility, blah, 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 down the road.
Yeah.
But rent an RV and set up a little, like, kind of facial area where, you know, people can come get, you know, like, skin treatments and things like that for Bitcoin and silver, preferably.
Really? Ooh,
yeah,
I'm going to have to check that out.
I'm thinking about it, and it would be more like, it wouldn't be anything, you know, nothing huge, like, more just kind of like mini facials and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, being outside all day is rough on the skin, so
yeah,
that's great.
Absolutely.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's just kind of as an aside. I'm thinking about it.
You should definitely do that. I would come by. So
okay, cool. Yeah, awesome.
I'll give you some Bitcoin. So
yeah.
Yeah, I the first year I went, I had a bunch of hula hoops that I tried to sell, and I got to sell a couple of them, and I ended up doing a little fire performance and stuff like that. Ooh, I'm not doing this anything. Year. Oh, no, I actually sold a bunch of them. Like, I sold them off. I don't really make them anymore because I got too busy with Bitcoin stuff, actually. I kind of had to put some of my hooping stuff to the side. Yeah. But I'll try to learn
how to do that. I really want to learn how to do that. You should run a workshop or something.
Oh, it's super easy. Yeah, I could.
I know how to hula hoop, but I don't know how to fire hula hoop.
That's fun. That's a little harder, but it is really fun. Once you get comfortable with regular hula hooping, you can jump up to fire hooping. Yeah. So I hope to be doing that this year. So
I need a well weighted hula hoop. I can't just get the ones from Walmart. They're just too light.
Right. Yeah, you have to make your own, basically, or you can buy. There's a bunch of sites that you can buy them off of, and they use a heavier. Polyethylene tubing is what it is, and it's very easy to make. Very easy to make. So, and it's something. It's really fun. It's really healthy. And I used to do workshops and stuff like that. And I'm thinking about getting back into it again. Because I kind of took a little break for a while, writing and doing the Bitcoin stuff. But but the hula hooping stuff is really fun. So
everything has a season. Bring
fire and fire. Right.
I like fire.
Yeah. So what else are you looking forward to at Porkfest this year?
Just seeing everyone. Like, I'm excited about seeing everyone. I feel like I've been missing out a little bit on I had been fairly regularly trying to hit some different conferences and things like that, whether Bitcoin or Liberty type stuff. And now, even before when I was working a regular job, I still was able to do that. But now I'm in school. I can't really miss school. Mm-hmm. And I'm also working, too. So it's like, I've not been able to, do things. But I'm definitely, going to make a point to get to Porkfest and see people and learn stuff and hang out. And, I just enjoyed it so much last year. And definitely do some fiend shows from there again. That was fun. Definitely very fun.
Yeah. I only heard of it. That was when I first heard about Freedom Fiends. I know.
Oh, really?
That was the first time. I kind of vaguely heard about it from Davi, and I heard about it more so last year at Porkfest and just how crazy it was. I was like, that sounds like so fun. I want to be a part of that.
You guys are going to do the show.
And now I am.
You guys can do the show. I don't need to be there for that. I'll be on the wire with you. I'll be living.
Yeah, so you're not going to come to Porkfest this year?
Nah.
Michael?
I'd like to. It's money and time.
Right, yeah. I understand. Yeah.
So, a week long.
Right.
It'll probably be the only thing I go to this year, conference wise. It's more of a festival. It's more fun for me, but I've cut back going to all conferences until they, can cover my expenses or something. I'm at least asking them to cover my expenses if I get invited. I think that's only fair. So,
because,
I get invited to a lot of these things and they want to use my name to sell the conference in some degree. I'm not a very big person in Bitcoin at all, but that's still, they put your pictures up with all these other people and they use it to promote the conference, but not a lot of speakers get paid. And it's hard. I've been on the other side of this where it's like, I want these speakers and it's like, oh, how do we get them paid and stuff like that?
Right,
and there's
right.
a bit of an issue
expenses.
With that.
Yeah.
At least cover the expenses, like a hotel room, I don't think that's much to ask, but, it depends on the place and how organized things are and, yeah, and I think, it's good to take a break. I'm just trying to save up more right now anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll be at Porkfest, and I think it'll be really fun.
Absolutely.
Love talking with people. Bow, 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 bow. Nice.
Knives.
I'm dancing in my chair.
Knives.
Knives. Instead of saying nice, say knives.
Yep.
It's going to be the new worms.
Some fan made that up. I like
to
it.
Freedom Fiends with Michael
Guy
Dean
in Hawaii.
And some of his weird friends.
Some wrench in Hawaii.
We're
I like Hawaiians.
Into space.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, meow.
Knives. Take it, ladies of fiends.
I like knives.
Me too.
I'm okay with knives.
I'm kind of afraid of knives.
Worms.
I carry like tons of guns all the time, but I'm kind of afraid of like
carrying
a knife. Tons
of guns. Yeah. Tons and tons of guns.
Yeah. I just wish I had the skill to use knives creatively. Yeah. You know, like throwing knives. It would be kind of a cool skill to have, right? Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a gun, you know, you have it. If you're skilled with knives.
There's bound to be like, I mean, I know that there's self-defense classes you can take using knives for sure.
Yeah.
I would be pretty interested in doing that. I need to take my handgun out and practice with it at some point.
I do too.
And I've been so busy, I've just not had a chance to do it yet. And I've got to do it. I got it for my birthday. And I haven't even actually shot it yet.
What'd you get?
It's a Ruger 38-357 snub nose. It's nice. It's cute.
Yeah, is it really an LCP? Cute. The LCP?
LCP, no. I don't think so. It's a SL-101 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Cool. If I remember correctly. But, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Ruger LC9. I carry that just about every day. It's a good little gun.
Mm-hmm. So what are the laws in Florida about carry? What are the carry laws in Florida? I forget.
It's a shell issue state. It's pretty easy to get a concealed carry license here. Oh, yeah, okay. Open carry though, but they will allow you to conceal carry.
Huh, and
so that's good.
Ask me what the laws are in Wyoming.
What are the laws in Wyoming?
They're none, right?
What laws?
Like whatever you want to do.
Laws?
Yeah.
What laws? We don't need no stinking laws.
You can conceal carry or open carry without a permit, and you can walk into a sporting goods store and go to the section between the basketballs and the fly fishing gear and buy assault rifles and just put money down on the not assault rifles, but you can buy semi-auto AK-47s.
And, so, Michael, AR-15. Crime must just be out of control in Wyoming with all these guns everywhere, right?
I know.
No, it's there's very little violent crime. Well, the violent crime that's here is people who know each other. There's very little like muggings on the street by strangers.
Well, I think that's most violent crime, isn't it? Is between people that know each other.
Yeah.
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 Well,
I have to look out for, so I got to be armed in Florida.
Yeah. You're more likely to get, bit by a wolf or gored by a bison walking down the street here than like mugged by a crackhead or a meth head.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Actually, I lived next door to a meth head one time. Yeah. Still felt safer next to her than I did when I'd see the police following the neighborhood.
Oh. It's kind of ironic whenever people criticize police on the internet and the police lickers jump in and say, mm-hmm. You'll wish you hadn't said this when you need to call the police. And I'm thinking, I don't think there will ever be a situation in my life when I would want to call the police. I mean, the only time is if I'd need to call the police would be like, I don't know, if I called 911 for a medical issue, they might show up.
Yeah, and the police will freaking show up.
Or if like, if the house was burgled while we're out and I have to file a police report for the insurance company. Basically, the only reason I'd need to call the police is situations where they have a monopoly and shouldn't.
Yeah. So I had a fainting spell a while back, and it was something that really freaked me out. No, I mean, it was like, it was a literal, like, I passed out. I almost passed out. I came very close to passing out. And what I should have done was just lay down and chill out. But I was started freaking out about it. Christian and I talked about calling 911, and I was like, oh my God, no, we can't call 911, because not only will the EMS show up, the cops will show up, because they just are like, oh, what's going on? Why is somebody like fainting? Blah, blah, blah. There must be drugs. Or, you know, it's like, who knows why they show up? I mean, it's just like, I didn't want the cops to show up. So it's like, okay, so if we have to go to the emergency room, let's drive there, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I ended up not having to go at that point. But well, I did have to go to the emergency room later on, where I actually fainted at the dining room table.
Wow. Dude, that meth head stole $200 worth of water for me, and I still didn't call the police.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Knives. It just makes things worse. It just makes it worse, that's all.
Worms.
That's true.
Worms. Yeah. Good show, you guys.
Excellent show.
Loved
Thanks,
it.
Ladies of Liberty.
I'm clutching my pearls as we speak.
What about the children?